All right, great. Well, thanks for kicking us off, Steve. And I'll start with a newborn organization and first steps. So, you know, I think some focus of this panel will be to get a little bit back to basics. So some of this involves us talking you through the key steps for organizations in each of these life stages, and what we think of are the real hallmarks of these stages and what issues might come up in each stage. So, all right. So formation. So you have the concept of a nonprofit organization and a mission, something that it's going to do. And at this step, we've got to deal with both state law and federal law. I'm sure as many of you know, nonprofit organizations in general have to rely on some form of legal entity under state law. And the most common of those is going to be a nonprofit corporation under state law. But, you know, sometimes we'll also see trusts, associations, LLCs, and there are different requirements for each of those types of entities. For purposes of our presentation, I think most of the time we will be focusing on and referencing some of the documents and associated requirements for nonprofit corporations. So some of this starts all the way at the beginning. We've got corporate formation documents that will need to be in place. And the thing to remember there is that this is a creature of state law, but the federal law has something to say about it. So there's both an organizational and operational test in order to qualify for Section 501c3 status and public charity status that. So the key things are there are two, you know, landmark essential points. It has to be organized and operated exclusively for one or more exempt purposes. And in that organized section, you know, that's fulfilled by meeting the organizational test by requiring certain essential points be in the organization's organizing document. In this case, we'll usually refer to articles of incorporation. And so the very basics of those are to limit a purpose to exempt purposes, and they can't expressly allow the organization to engage in certain prohibited activities or activities that if they are engaged in a certain level, then that endangers the charitable status. And then they have to have the right kind of dissolution clause. And for anyone who's, you know, been in a practitioner in this area for a while, you would know, all right, this is one of the landmark items, which is a dissolution clause that provides that really the assets must be distributed upon dissolution to for one or more exempt purposes or to certain governmental public purposes. But this is one of the, you know, we say back to basics because this is always something to look for when you're assisting an organization is to ensure it does truly have a properly compliant dissolution clause. And at the front end, this will be one of the things that the IRS really truly looks at when reviewing an application for exempt status. The operational test will be the thing that we're really focusing on for the rest of the presentation. So is the organization operating exclusively for one or more exempt purposes? Is it not doing something that's not in furtherance of those purposes? And is it otherwise violating the tax law in some way? So the next step, our first baby steps for our new organization, is to apply for tax-exempt status. So this will be the first interaction with the IRS, most likely. And so you'll be completing the Form 1023 IRS application for recognition of exemption. And there is a statutory rule about when this form is supposed to be filed. So with certain extension, that is 27 months from the end of the first month that it was organized. So that's usually a generous amount of time for a brand new organization to get its mission together and to get some planned activities together, enough to really tell the IRS what it's doing. And in practice, at least in private practice, one of the most common things that you run up against in this area is an organization that wants to so immediately file they might not have properly sorted out exactly what their planned activities are. And the key is to hit that sweet spot where you have enough of an idea that it's pretty definite what the organization is planning to do, but also to never run past the statutory deadline. So there are two application forms that you can use to do this. The Form 1023 and the Form 1023EZ, an abbreviated form. And if you've tuned into some of these other sessions or been in practice for a while, then you're very familiar with the Form 1023EZ that's available for smaller organizations. I'll give a few tips on that in the next few slides. But just to finish up this overview, when an organization applies for exemption, not only are they giving a determination on exempt status, but also on private foundation classification. So the organization will either end up in the private foundation bucket or the public charity bucket. And in this presentation, we'll cover those organizations that are in the public charity bucket.